Brett Hollander back here on WBAL Sportsline, rolling along here on a Wednesday night. Of course, for the Orioles, the second half of the season starts Friday night in Oakland. The All-Star game was yesterday, and now joining us is an Orioles alum and a former first-round pick back in the 1992 draft, fourth overall, in fact, and it's someone who played in Baltimore for a very long time, 6 years, in fact. Jeffrey Hammonds joins us right now. Jeffrey, thank you so much for coming on the program.
I appreciate that. Let me turn this down. My boys are running around behind me. What's going on, my man? How's everything?
Jeffrey, I really appreciate you doing this. I know it's been hard to run you down. You're a very busy Players Union's executive right now. Tell me about that.
How about it, huh? Well, I mean, it's something that we, as ball players, I experienced that 94 season. That was my second year in, and I really saw what it was to be a major leaguer and the fraternity and the solidarity that we all showed during that time when we lost the World Series that year, and a lot of issues had to come to light and we had to hold the ground. And from that point forward, we had 20 years up to this point of, you know, no interruptions. Knowing Don Fear and doing a lot of, I traveled with him extensively. I was never a player rep, but I always went to the meetings, and I was on the licensing committee. And then when Michael Wiener came and play, I had known Michael because Michael, of course, was underneath Don. And so it was a seamless transition. It just made sense that that was the route that I wanted to embark on to stay relevant in the game. Trust me, I tried scouting.
Was it for you?
And that wasn't it. That wasn't it. Coaching, you know, not everybody wants to be a coach. I don't mind the paperwork. I don't mind fighting the issues. I don't mind reading about what we need to do, what we don't need to do. But the biggest thing is education. Education. That's why I went to college, and I'm very proud to say that I went back and got my degree. And it makes a world of difference when I'm having that conversation with my children to this day. That, yo, education counts, and to walk that walk and actually do it and still achieve and play a game that I dreamt of always playing, it's a good story right now. So yep. I'm very blessed.
Very cool story. Of course, 13 years in the big leagues for you, and you went to Stanford, and you know, everyone was talking about that Stanford pipeline to Baltimore. Mike Mussina, Jeffrey Hammonds, I don't know if you remember, was it Paul Carey?
Paul Carey, Jeff Ballard.
Jeff Ballard, wow.
Threw that one at you. Huh?
What was it, Southpaw? Was it just like one scout who just camped out in Palo Alto to look for you guys?
Do you know who that scout was?
No, I don't.
Ed Sprague Sr. Remember Eddie Sprague, this third baseman for the Toronto Blue Jays?
Yeah, sure.
He was in Northern Cal, and now he's a Baltimore scout.
Very cool. And he had it right. And, of course, you know, you look at the All-Star game yesterday. Very interesting 1992 draft, Jeffrey. My producer and I, Jay, was just going back and we're looking it over. You were the fourth overall pick, and then two picks later, Derek Jeter. Both of you guys were born in New Jersey. How about that?
Yeah, but he claims Michigan.
He claims Michigan. That is true.
Yeah, he claims Michigan. I'm a Jerseyite, man. I'm a dumb.
You're the real deal.
Yeah, at least until I left, went to California.
Yeah. It's pretty interesting. You guys were in the same draft. You get to the big leagues a lot quicker than Derek Jeter. And last night I did have to spend some time talking about Jeffrey Mayer. I do think it's interesting. And you were part of that 96 club, Jeffrey, and also the 1997 Wire to Wire team. You had a great year in 1997. But it's really interesting to me when you think about it, because, and I'm not taking anything away from Derek. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, a class guy. But here's this legend of him being this clutch postseason performer. His first home run was a fly ball to right field.
Well, it was a fly ball right field that was far enough to be counted as a home run. Wow. So, hey, so that's clutch in my book. You know, when Armando's throwing about 112 at that time.
Did you think Tony Tarasco was going to kill Richie Garcia? I mean, I was nervous looking back at some of the videos today.
You know, Tony. Tony, he's down there in Washington, down there right now with the Nationals.
Yeah.
That's Tony's animated. That's one of those pieces that'll last forever. And I just like, if you know Tony, you just that does not surprise you.
Yeah, and Davey, poor Davey Johnson, and poor Armando too. But that was a tough one to swallow. Did you have any idea in 1996 that Derek Jeter would become this guy? Did you have any inkling to that?
Does anyone?
No, I don't think so.
No, not at all. I mean, you knew he was a talented player. When they made the shift, I think when Tony Fernandez got hurt that year or so, I forgot who was just supposed to be the shortstop, and they gave it to Derek Jeter. And they had to justify that move. But if you look back on it and you look at the similarities of a team pretty much turning over a roster to a player, L.A. Lakers did that with Kobe Bryant. You know, Cleveland did that with LeBron James, Allen Iverson. I mean, you know, they're different sports, but it's the same kind of guy. He's so captivating. He's so dynamic on and off the field. I mean, you saw that early, even when you're talking about that home run. I mean, some things are just supposed to happen. Like we're watching it right now with Michael Trout.
Yeah.
We expect he's doing what you dream of doing, even as a professional, and then some. You understand? So he's rewriting the history books of what a baseball player dream job is. Derek Jeter just held it for 20 years. We had Cal Ripken for 30 years ago. That was that guy.
Right.
So you know, it's good to see this generational shift, and it's no different, man. I mean, Derek Jeter is just – I did an interview not that long ago, and they asked Derek about, you know, asked myself about, you know, would you want to be a Yankee? I said, yeah. I was very happy to be Oriole. I mean, I'm very blessed. I mean, growing up, I was a Yankee fan. And I said, but you know what? God got it right. God got it right. You know, this was a beautiful thing for any baseball fan to see the career of Derek Jeter and what he was able to accomplish both on and off the field. And it's just a blessing to just say, you know.
Former Oriole, Jeffrey Hammond's with us here on WBAL for another few minutes, and great catching up with Jeffrey. And Jeffrey, I have to say this to you, and I said this on the air last segment, that I remember when the Bay Sox were playing at Memorial Stadium in 1993, that must have been a very strange experience, by the way, for a double-A player to be playing in a major league stadium, by the way. But my dad let me play hooky from school. He picks me up, and we go to Memorial Stadium. I think if you had a Little League shirt or jersey, you got to get in for like $2, and all of us wanted to see Jeffrey Hammond's play because the legend was growing and growing. And I think it was the first pitch you saw that day. You smoked a double, ground rule double to left center field. And it was just, the whole crowd just couldn't believe it. It was right on cue, and you were tearing up at the time. Tell me what it was like to come through and be that prospect, to be that guy.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I was going to college, and I had good success at Stanford, and going to the Olympic team. And at that time, we were really, it was the trading cards. It was the Frank Robinson dynamic of him coming out and seeing me play. Hmm. I mean, you know, the new stadium, Camden Yards, and we started. So everything was just a perfect, you know, it was a gumbo of good things that was happening at that time. And I hate to say it, you were watching these guys now come up, and you don't know who they are. I mean, there's something happened with the college game. There's something happening. I mean, we have the futures game, but that builds up in the excitement of people really coming in and waiting for this guy to arrive. Baseball needs that. We need that. I appreciate you bringing that back up for the sole fact. I hope you continue that because I know Baltimore's one of the cities that do talk about it. I know about Gosman coming, and you know you Bundy was coming. You know you guys do a better job than most markets in promoting their younger talent on their arrival prior to their arrival to Camden Yards. So I mean, to live that you know coming up and playing against the Yankees right off the shoot on a Friday night at Camden Yards in 1993 and getting two hits and an intentional walk. I mean, that stuff that those are stories, man.
Yeah, you
those
hit 305. You get to the big leagues in 1 year and hit 305, and then the next year you're having a great year, but the season's cut short. You're hitting about 300 that year. I have to bring this up, Jeffrey. I don't know if you remember this name at all, but sitting behind us that day at Memorial Stadium, and we went to see a few games of yours, but this day really resonates because you hit that double, I think, on the first pitch. But the parents of T.R. Lewis were sitting behind us, and my dad and I struck up a conversation with them. Do you remember T.R.? He was such a good minor league hitter.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. Right-handed hitter, and he was on my team.
Yeah, he was on the team. I just thought that was funny, and I remember talking about him. He was also like a top 10 Orioles prospect at the time, I believe.
Yes. Yes, he was. And now that I'm on this side of the ball, when I say this side of the ball, where you really look into the numbers, a lot has to go right to even get there. I mean, you think about the talent and how many guys are actually out there playing major league or minor league, or let's just back it up, little league, high school, college, and to get drafted, to have that opportunity to play in the professional ranks. I mean, we're talking, 1-2% of the general population. And that's pushing it once you get to the professional leagues. Now, to get actually to the major leagues, that's less than like this 0.7% chance that you'll have that opportunity.
Amazing.
So we all dream it, but as you know, talent does not always get you there.
No.
It's timing.
Sometimes.
It's a blessing.
I was going to say, sometimes I see the prospect status and being a Baseball America top 5, 10, 100 prospect. It can be a burden to have early media attention and have that sort of hype around you. And then, especially for a franchise like this, and I'll bring it back to someone like Matt Wieters, who was literally built as the savior, that upon his arrival date in the major leagues, that would wash away the previous 11 or 12 years at the time of losing baseball just by virtue of him being there. And that's an unfair burden in a team game.
Yeah, it is. But you know where he handled it. I saw Matt last week. Well, shit, 2 days ago. Shoot, what was it, on Monday? And Sunday when I got in, I saw him at the press conference out in Minneapolis. And he's doing well, his spirits are well, but he was out there enjoying the festivities because he is, he was voted in as that catcher of the American League, and I was very proud of him. I'm glad he showed up. And he's like, man, I just held on as long as I could before I had to get it done. I understand it, man. You got to take care of yourself and make sure you get it right. Don't come back out here. Just come back out here.
That's true.
Weird. And then I saw Adam, Adam, AJ was just having a good old time. And just so you know, I saw some Oriole fans. I saw some Oriole shirts out there in Minneapolis.
I caught a few on TV last night, which was great to see. And Adam Jones is a close friend of the show. So it's great you speak highly of him in Minneapolis. One final thing, Jeffrey, and it pertains to what you do now. And just in your involvement, it's a very exciting time, it seems, for baseball with the new TV deals and the revenue being what it is right now. And also for the union and your boss now, Tony Clark, who spoke, I thought, so eloquently all week. And so did Bud Selig in all of their interviews about the health and status of the game. In your opinion, in about 60 seconds here, tell me about what you think about the current state of Major League Baseball.
It's robust. you can just tell in Minneapolis over the last few days, baseball is alive and well. The fans are coming out and enjoying a good show. And that's all, as a player, that's all you can concern yourself with. You don't really get, as my side now, I have to understand the dynamics and economics and the impact that the community involvement means, the TV deals, the licensing. So there's a lot more to it, but I'm working. I'm working for the players. I'm working. Tony's working to make sure we protect the players. Bud is leaving. Derek Jeter's leaving. So we're losing some icons. We're losing some icons, guys, that changed this game for their presence for being here. So baseball's in a great place right now.
Well, maybe, Jeffrey, in 10 years you'll be up for the new commissioner job when that becomes available again. That'd be a pretty interesting transition.
No, I don't want it.
Jeffrey Ammons, former Oriole, what an affable guy, former fourth overall pick. Jeffrey, thank you so much. Congratulations on your new gig with the union, and I hope we can catch up again soon.
No doubt about it. Thank you for reaching out to me. Thank you, Oz, and have a good second half.
Oh, let's see that.